welcome to the SSPX podcast and to the Audio Daily Devotional. Today is Saturday, April the 27th, 2024, the Feast of St. Peter Canisius, Confessor and Doctor of the Church. It's a third-class feast with the liturgical color of white. In this episode, the meditation, Jesus makes himself known gradually to the apostles. News from FSSPX.news about the massacring of Christians in Nigeria, and a quote from Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. But first, the collect of today's Mass. O God, who didst strengthen blessed Peter, thy confessor, by virtue and wisdom to defend the Catholic faith, mercifully grant that through his example and teaching, the erring may return to the way of salvation, and the faithful persevere in the profession of the truth. Now a little bit more about St. Peter Canisius. In 1565, the Vatican was looking for a secret agent. It was shortly after the Council of Trent, and the Pope wanted to get the decrees of the Council to all the European bishops. What would be a simple errand in our day was a dangerous assignment in the 16th century. The first envoy, who tried to carry the decrees through the territory of hostile Protestants and vicious thieves, was robbed of these precious documents. Rome needed someone courageous, but also someone above suspicion. They chose Peter Canisius. At 43, he was a well-known Jesuit who had founded colleges that even Protestants respected. They gave him cover as an official visitor of Jesuit foundations, but Peter couldn't hide the decrees like our modern fictional spies with their microfilmed messages or USB drives. Peter traveled from Rome and crisscrossed Germany successfully, loaded down with the Tridentine books, 250 pages each, not to mention the three sacks of books he took along for his own university. Why did the Vatican choose Peter Canisius for this delicate task? Born in Holland in 1521, Peter had edited and written several volumes on church history and theology. He had been a delegate to the Council of Trent and reformed the German universities from heresy. Called to Vienna to reform their university, he couldn't win the people with preaching or fancy words spoken in his thick German accent. Instead, he won their hearts by ministering to the sick and the dying during a plague. The people, the king, and the Pope all wanted to make Peter Bishop of Vienna, but Peter declined vigorously and administered the diocese for only a year. For many years during the Reformation, Peter saw the students in his university swayed by the flashy speeches and the well-written arguments of the Protestants. Peter was not alone in wishing for a Catholic catechism that would present true Catholic beliefs undistorted by fanatics. Finally, King Ferdinand himself ordered Peter and his companions to write a catechism. This hot potato got tossed from person to person until Peter and his friend Leger were assigned to write it. Leger was obviously the logical choice at the time, being a better writer than Peter, so Peter relaxed and sat back to offer any help he could. But when Father Leger died, King Ferdinand would wait no longer. Peter said of writing, quote, "I have never learned to be elegant as a writer, but I cannot remain dumb on that account," end quote. The first issue of the Catechism appeared in 1555 and was an immediate success. Peter approached Christian doctrine in two parts: wisdom, including faith, hope, and charity, and justice. St. Peter Canisius, pray for us. Today's meditation, Jesus makes himself known gradually to the apostles. Consideration. One remarkable circumstance of this appearance to the seven disciples was, as the Gospel tells us, that none of them who were at meat darest ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. We must therefore conclude that our Lord appeared to them under some form which veiled him from their sight. They could not see that it was him, and yet they knew it, as the evangelist says, meaning that they believed it without doubting. What gave them this faith? The exterior testimony of a miracle and the interior voice of grace. Application. Is not this our case when we are in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament or approach the holy altar? We do not then see Jesus Christ. He is veiled from our eyes under the appearance of bread, but we know that it is he. We believe it without doubting, being assured by the testimony of our faith and by the unction of grace from that divine Lord who speaks and acts within us. We ought then to try to equal the respect and love which the disciples gave to his adorable person. Do you do this habitually? This meditation is taken from the book Practical Meditations, available at angeluspress.org. Sad news today from fsspx.news. The massacring of Christians continues in Nigeria. Dozens of Christians were killed in towns and villages in the so-called Central Belt of Nigeria, which is the central third of the country between the north and the south, in recent weeks, especially around Easter, according to information supplied to the International Catholic Charitable Organization Aid to the Church in Need, or ACN, by local Catholic leaders. At least 39 people were killed in a series of attacks in villages in Plateau State, which began on Easter Monday. According to Father Andrew Dewayne, director of communications for the Diocese of Panshin, he said, quote, "Last week there were violent attacks in three communities in the parish. 10 people were killed and a pregnant woman had her stomach slit open. The baby was not spared." The attackers, Fulani herdsmen, mostly Muslims, returned for a new series of raids on Friday, April 12th, which caused 29 more deaths. The attacks continued until Sunday, April 14th. In total, 5 villages and districts were attacked, and a church in the town of Kopnanili was set on fire. It is in this same region that more than 300 Christians were massacred around Christmas, and Father Andrew thinks that, quote, "there's a pattern to these attacks, and it's an ongoing feature of living in the region." To read this full article, please visit fsspx.news and look for the article, "The Massacring of Christians Continues." Finally, a thought from the day from Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. The Christian life is a combat, and that is just a fact. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of life, a spirit which combats the spirit of sin. But the spirit of sin entered the world through original sin, and we are all infested with it. It is necessary to receive the sacrament of confirmation in order to fight against all that, in order to remain a Christian, a good Catholic man, a good Christian woman, in order not to disobey God. Thank you for joining us for today's daily devotional. Please don't forget to leave a rating and a review. Are you sick of hearing me say that yet? I'm going to keep going. I know you hear it all the time, but it really does help us. Also, if you like the work we're doing and want to support us in expanding the types of in-depth series we're doing, please do consider a one-time or a small monthly recurring donation on sspxpodcast.com. Until next time, thank you for listening, and God bless you.